Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Here we are, dead or alive. It's the Talk Radio Countdown Show on the air. You'll hear the enthusiasm in my voice because Michael Harrison wasn't here last week. He was under the weather. Where'd that expression come from, I wonder? Under
probably
the weather.
A meteorologist.
You think?
Yeah,
most men who are meteorologists don't have their own hair. A lot of them have. I think that started with Willard Scott. They have the toupees.
Do you think that the study of meteorology causes follicular
hair loss?
Damage?
Follicular damage, I like
that. When
you're
making the meteorological prognostications, you have follicular damage.
Say that quickly, please. Speaking of quickly, let's get going here. Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine, with Doug Steffen overviewing the charts for the week of March 21st to the 25th. Top 10 stories, top 10 people. I feel like sometimes when I do this, I'm from Family Feud.
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey, and he's got the top 10 answers on the board. And so here they are.
I like when Steve Harvey thinks the person's answer is so stupid that take another 10 seconds on him. He's really funny.
Yeah.
he's a really multifaceted mind there. All right.
You know, but there's just an aside here. There's a very interesting that he's become a very, a big media player. He's got a judge show. He had a daytime talk show that's gone away. He does a morning syndicated radio program, does Family Feud. And if you'll notice on Family Feud, take a note of this. Every episode has a black family and a white family. If you ever haven't noticed that or taken note of it, that is his doing. He said if he's going to do this show, he wants the producers to make sure that there are black families on every episode. And if you watch Family Feud, you'll see that that's the case. If you pay it, it's just an interesting anecdotal side note. So, anyway, having dropped that on you, how about we drop the story list on everybody, Michael?
Okay. At number 10, Family Feud has black families. No, at number 10, Madeline Albright dies. And that's tied with excitement over the James Webb Space Telescope.
Boy, did you see those pictures? My God.
I'm telling you heard it first here. That is going to be a game changer. That telescope is going to change humanity.
How we view our place in the universe.
We're going to know things we just didn't know. And when we find out these things, it's going to have an impact on us
culturally.
You know, telling you, I've been following this thing for years because I'm interested in astronomy.
Me too.
This is a big one. Yep. All right, number 9, big tech and social media. That's always there. At number 8, the January 6th committee, and that's tied with ongoing Trump investigations. At number 7, partisan politics tied with the 2022 and 2024 elections. We've never had so much election talk going on as we have now, not just for the next election, but the election after the next election.
Right. Do you see there's always a lawsuit filed against Marjorie Taylor Greene to keep her from running?
and I think Trump has sued Hillary for what he calls the Russia hoax. You better be careful about that. He may wind up uncovering evidence that makes him implicated.
I think there already is.
Everything about Russia is so fresh again. Yep. You know, everything anybody's ever said about Putin or everything, Russia is a potential, pain in the butt for Trump in terms of his future explanations about his activities. At number 6, COVID-19. At number 5, the Supreme Court of the United States hearings, and that's tied with race relations, and that's tied with crime, and they all tie together in terms of the hearings.
Yeah.
At number 4, the economy, and the highlight of economic discussion of the price is the price of gasoline.
What'd you pay for gas this week out in Western Mass?
Somewhere in the fives, high 4, low 5s. It was bizarre. Yeah. Filling a tank and having it come to $70.
Well, you can't. My pickup truck. I can put $100 and it doesn't fill up the tank. And they all click off. That's another thing. Have you noticed that when you go to the pump, There is a maximum they'll allow you to charge on a credit card, like $100, some of them $125. When they know that's not enough to fill the car, you'd think that they would change that. You wonder why there is that limit. I've always wondered that. So you got a credit card, you're going to get paid. What do you care how much they charge? I would say that to a dealer. It doesn't.
It's got to be something. Maybe it has to do with hoarding. I really don't know the answer to that. Is that new?
See or the guy who stole 5,000 gallons of gasoline and sold it for $10 a gallon? American entrepreneurship. There it is.
Well, you got to be careful when there are gas problems. People know how to siphon gas out of your gas
tank. Out of your car. Yeah,
I remember that. That was big in the 70s.
Remember that's when those little locks. Some of the cars today still have those little locks in the car, so you can't get at. You know, it's frustrating sometimes because you can't find them if you're renting a car. But that was the reason they were put in, because so many people in the late 70s were stealing gas out of cars.
Yeah. It not so much because of the prices, but to be able to get gas because of the gas lines, which is something that younger generations don't know how frustrating that was.
Yeah.
Which brings to mind, do you remember when you were a kid, the cultural ritual of, hey, let's go for a drive.
Yep.
And the family would get in the car, and you would go for a drive to nowhere.
Yeah, just ride around and look at the sights.
Right. I mean, do people do that anymore? Do people go for Sunday drives?
No, nobody goes as a family anywhere. They all have, the kids are all being bought their own cars when they're 16 because the parents can't be bothered bringing them to their activities. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to go buy you a car. It is the craziest thing. It's great for the car business, and it's not good for driving, generally speaking, because the kids don't know how to drive. At all. I think I make that statement, and it sounds like a blanket statement, but I think that stats from insurance companies would prove that's why insurance is so expensive now for teenagers, because they don't know how to drive. And they don't know how to deal with the realities of what happens when you're confronted with some serious situations where there's lots of traffic. I'm thinking about in Springfield, near where you live, there's a rotary which brings Route 5, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. Route 5, the Mass Turnpike, and 91. You know that rotary? It's like, hello, how do you negotiate your way around that rotary? And every time I go through there, I see a wreck. Somebody run into. Do you know the one I'm talking about? You know that rotary I'm talking about.
There's two rotaries in Western Massachusetts that are world famous for being dangerous. One of them has a really gruesome number of deaths and accidents attached to it, and the people in the area avoid it. They will go a mile out of their way to avoid going through it, because there's no way to go through it safely. The yield signs and the stop signs contradict each other. So so there's no way to get through it by following the rules. The rules will screw you up. Yeah. The other rotary I think you're talking about is the one on Route 5 in West Springfield. The one I just mentioned is in the town of East Longmeadow.
Yeah.
The East Longmeadow rotary is world famous. The other rotary in West Springfield is also extremely dangerous, but if you follow the rules of the road...
Yeah, you got to be watching, not the road, but you got to watch the signs. Not the road, watch the signs.
The signs, but you bring up something very interesting. What you're saying is that the younger generation does not have enough experience at practical driving, that when they get in a tough situation where traffic is coming from all directions and people are nuts and it's merging onto the road and there are trucks moving from the left to the right and you're going from the right to the left and all that stuff happens, or there are four cars in an intersection and you don't know which one has the right of way and everybody's waving to everybody and then they all go at the same time and you have a four-way crash. Are you saying that the young drivers don't have the experience that they need to handle that?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And the proof of that this week, that car with six teenagers being driven by a 17-year-old who went through a 90-degree curve, they're on the wrong side of the road, got hit by a rock truck, and every one of those kids was killed instantly. Every one of them. So I think it's a word to the wise. Parents, I think, are irresponsible if they are letting their buying cars for kids that age. I just think it's crazy. All right. So anyway.
All right. Let's go on to number four, the economy and gas prices, as mentioned. Number three, U.S. relations with Russia and China tied with North Korea just launched a monster intercontinental ballistic missile, which is also a pain in the you-know-what. At number two, Biden's NATO summit, and then he's going on to Poland. And number one is the Russia-Ukraine war. The people, we have Madeleine Albright at 10. Hunter Biden keeps being the subject of scrutiny at number 9, Alvin Bragg at 8, Donald Trump at 7, Ketanji Brown Jackson, Josh Hawley, and Lindsey Graham are tied at number 6, as that circus ensued in Washington before TV cameras. And Kim Jong-un is at 5, Xi Jinping is at 4.
Look at me. Oh, don't forget me. I'm here. Don't forget me and all of this other. I'm here still. I'm going to screw things up. Look at me. Yep.
And then at number 3, we have Volodymyr Zelensky. At number 2, we have Vladimir Putin. And at number 1, Joe Biden.
That's it.
There it is. The lists from Talkers Magazine. You can see them published at talkers.com and also DJVshow.com. Michael Harrison and Doug Steffen here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show with much more afoot here as we examine the ins and outs. I think we have to spend some time on Ukraine, certainly. I have to remind people that are on a diet that they can really have success. Don't you want success when in support for your weight loss program? You've lost it, now keep it off. And I'm going to send you to toploss.com, which is the website for Calitrin, the only all-natural product that works to keep the weight off. This week, there's a special unlimited buy three, get three free. It's the entrance to spring. Free shipping, too. Use the DJV code when you check out at toploss.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
23 after the hour now. This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen with Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine, here to go through with some semblance of order the things that people have been talking about according to the research by the folks at Talkers. Kevin Casey, who was with us last week in your absence, went through a lot of the ways and means, if you will, of what it takes to come up with this list every week. It's not easy because you got to really have your, what is it, the old expression, your nose to the grindstone or your ear to the rails or whatever it is.
You have to have your ear to the rails. You have to have an understanding of the theory of how the news talk media industry operates.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you want to tell me about that sometime? You know, speaking of that, Alex Jones was supposed to be deposed this week. You know, that the Shady Hill, it's not Shady Hill, Sandy Hill business, he got sued. Most people know Alex is a talk show host, and he got into big trouble because he said that the shootout down there in Connecticut was a hoax, and the family sued him, and they won. And now he says, I'm not paying, and they were court case, you know, on top of court cases. He was supposed to be deposed this week, and he said, first he refused, and then the judge said, well, if you don't come, you're going to be in contempt, you go to jail. So then he said he was sick. So be interesting to see where that all is. That style of talk, right? It's sort of the old Joe Pine, but Joe Pine never really hurt anybody.
No. Joe Pine was a showman, but he didn't engage in the transaction of misinformation and sensationalism for its own sake.
Right.
Joe Pine was a, you know, an angel compared to some of the conspiracy theorists.
That's an issue. I've never heard Joe Pine before referred to as an angel. And then there was Mort. What's his face retired? Not Mort. Yeah, who is it that retired? This
Morton
week?
Downey Jr.
No. But there was.
But that's
the other guy.
That's another guy from that.
Yeah, right, from that era. No, this week. The guy who did the talk show that was like Jerry Springer. Why am I can see him. I want to say Mort, but you don't remember who. Povich.
No, I don't.
That's
right.
It. Maury Povich. That's it. Yeah.
Oh, Maury Povich.
Retired.
Yeah, that's a different kind of talk show. Yeah.
I don't think he ever did radio. And the only radio Jerry Springer ever did was when he came on my program when I was on in Cincinnati on Friday afternoon to talk about what was going on in Cincinnati. I don't think he ever did any radio. Did he, Jerry Springer?
I don't think he did radio. I think he was a guest of radio a lot.
Yeah, right, a lot.
But,
yeah,
but
right.
I don't think that, you know, he was the mayor of Cincinnati.
He was. When I knew him, he was the mayor of Cincinnati, and he got caught using city funds for a prostitute. So he got booted out of office, and he became the lead anchor opposite Nick Clooney on the 11 o'clock news. That's where he went after using city funds to pay for a prostitute. God, what a character. Then you know, those people are missing. Where are those people?
now. I mean, he's crazy. As, you know, oblique as they were, there's nobody around that's doing that kind of stuff now. Everybody's so busy pointing fingers at Republicans and Democrats. Right? Am I right in that? Or am I missing somebody that is cut out of that cloth?
I don't know. That hasn't been the center of attention lately in terms of media focus. Maybe you should start your own television show and bring people on who have personal problems that you could expose them for their stupidity or corruption.
Yeah.
And
I don't know that that's
basically
my style. Yeah.
Basically these shows were making fun of people who, shall we say, are not that sophisticated.
Yes, they left their schmarts at the door. They were. Did I send you a copy of, I was going to send you a copy of the TV show that I did here to make you feel better. I don't remember whether I ever did it.
No, I never received it.
Uh-huh. No. I'll just send it to you. Yeah, you'll get a kick out of it. It's a local TV show that I started with a friend of mine, highlighting the things going on in my community. It was kind of a fun, the first
one. I'd like
to
hear more
exercise.
About that.
I'll send it to you. All right, Michael Harris and Doug Steffen continuing. We will get to Ukraine in a matter of moments here on this week's Talk Radio Countdown Show. Back at 34 after the hour, this is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen with Michael Harrison, the editor and publisher of Talkers Magazine, here with a personal look inside the workings, if you will, of talk radio. A lot of opinions. Does talk radio work without opinion?
It has to be really, really, really good journalism if it does that.
Is Batchelor an example of that? The guy who's on John Batchelor, is he an example of when you said that, his name immediately came to mind.
John Batchelor is definitely a blast from the past. He's still going. He's syndicated by CBS Radio. And one of the things I found interviewing him was he answered every question honestly, I'd say to him. So what's happening with Russia, blah, blah, blah? Well, according to my sources, this is what I'm told. He's very transparent in the information he gives. I'd say he's a fine example of that. But to answer your question, I think in today's world, considering that there's a very, very, very fuzzy line between entertainment and journalism, and that everybody is fighting for ratings, for clicks, for eyeballs, for eardrums, for cost per point and advertising agencies and all that stuff, I would say that controversy and opinion is what makes what we call talk radio really work at its optimum level as a business.
You know, we were talking and chuckling a little bit about Joe Pyne and Maury Povich and some of the other folks from days gone by, the earlier years of talk radio on the radio. And I think of some of the people who really, you know who's good? We were just talking about Batchelor. Jim Bohannon, in my mind, is one of the greats when it comes to word pictures. Like, I can hear him without having heard him. You and I are great friends with him. He's a fabulous broadcaster. But I can hear him describing the people getting onto these trains, for example, that are going to Poland, these cities that are loading up trains, and the people and what they're going through. You know what I'm saying? The personal, you can almost, by listening to the words, you can, and this is the beauty of good talk radio, I think, drawing a picture that people can, in their mind, imagine what it looks like.
If people find this kind of thing interesting and they are interested in the history of this type of broadcasting, go back to Edward R. Murrow and his reports from London during the war on radio. And he would hold the microphone to the concrete sidewalks of London and say, these are the feet of the people walking through London, as you hear in the background sirens and the explosions of the bombs.
That's kind of what NPR does now. You know, when they do a report, they have all this sound in the background. They have take a lot of pains to make it sound like they're right there and it's going on backwards. It's like a television show.
Well, I would hope that the sounds are real. I mean, would you consider faking sounds in a news report to be cheating or embellishing?
Hmm. I don't think it's cheating. I think it's embellishment, probably, and not bad embellishment. It just adds color and maybe better understanding.
In other words, I'm reporting from Mariupol, and you hear in the background,
boom, crash. Yeah, right.
And it's all sound effects. Yeah. You think that would be if people realized that? I'm not saying anybody's doing that, but
I think the television reporters are trying to do that, but they're so fake. You know, they stand in front of some building that has been blown up 2 weeks ago as if it was happening now. You know, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. That's phony baloney stuff. I don't know whether most people are sophisticated enough to see through it or not, but it's nonsense.
Well, in the day of Walter Cronkite, the guy sat there on a set with the clocks behind him and a map or whatever, and he would talk. Yeah. But in the when the Iraq war started, the war number one and then Iraq number two, the news operations like CNN turned it into like an entertainment spectacle. They had graphics and music, you know, war in the Middle East. Boom, 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 boom.
That's how Nightline started.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And with all kinds of graphic embellishment of it to make it seem like a Cecil B. DeMille spectacle.
Right, big production.
Right, and I always wonder, to this day, I wonder about that type of embellishment of news.
Okay, so I'm going to give you an example. Tell me what you think of this. Number five this week, the hearings on whether or not Ms. Ketanji Brown Jackson should be on the Supreme Court. Is it an accident? Or was it well placed that the New York Times led with a story late in the week about how Justice Thomas's wife tried to influence? They found 25 email going from, I think her name is Virginia, right? Virginia
Ginny,
Thomas,
yeah,
Ginny, yeah, Thomas, Ginny. Going from her
texts. They were texts.
Texts. Yeah. Okay. Going from her to various officials trying to kill
to the Meadows, the White House chief of staff.
Yeah, Mark Meadows is the chief of staff. Yeah. Right. All right. So is that purposeful? Is that just a coincidence? Or is that aimed at subtly disqualifying, Thomas's points of view on this lady? I'm asking because for me, it's an interesting coincidence. I don't trust the New York Times. I just don't trust most news sources because they really aren't news anymore. But am I overreacting to this?
I don't know. It's certainly a valid question and one that they could be teaching and pondering in journalism classes. So I don't think you're overreacting. I think it's an interesting insight. Mm-hmm. What constitutes newsworthiness is a tremendously subjective area. What to cover and what not to cover are both statements and both ultimately have editorial implications.
Okay, so here's an example of that.
Yeah.
You ready? And if you look around at the coverage, there's a lawsuit that's been filed against Marjorie Taylor Greene to keep her from running for re-election this fall. And it got a big buildup in the quote-unquote liberal media, news media, but didn't get much coverage or attention from the right wing of the news media. And just, this is, I think, and the other thing, on the other side, Herschel Walker and Dr. Oz getting tossed off of the Health Commission because they're both Republicans running for the Senate this year. That got lots of coverage with the Republican news media and none. You can't find that story.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, the cherry picking and editorial by omission. But we're now in the age of targeting audiences in journalism to provide targeted audiences with what the researchers deem they want to hear, see, and read, as opposed to giving a general audience the information and letting them decide how they interpret it per their own ideology. This is a major shift that's happened over the last 20, 25 years. And that's the key to understanding why we all have these tribal bubbles that we live in, echo chambers, as opposed to mass media platforms where all the opinions play out to an objective audience that then determines how they feel about it. We're in a whole different era, and I think it's important at least we understand that. If we don't understand it, people just have no idea why things seem different today than they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago,
but it's because of the targeting of audiences. Meaning, when you turn on a news channel or read a newspaper, there is a premeditated effort on the part of its editors to please you by telling you things you want to hear or know, as opposed to hear the facts, fella, and take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. That's a, so do you realize how big a deal that is?
Yeah, it's warping people's minds to the nth degree. So is the same to be said for sports talk radio, do you think?
Totally, but that's okay. They call them, you know, homers.
Johnny Most. People work. Belichick stole the ball.
Right. In many cases, the color commentators and the play-by-play announcers work for the team that owns the network.
Yeah.
And they have to be very careful how they present the information about the game. You'll notice if you listen to local sports, the coverage of the games is far more biased than the network coverage of sports. It's, you know, you can't tell, you know, who they're a fan of.
I think you grew up in the same neighborhood Al Michaels did you not?
I don't know. See, I don't know where he grew up.
He grew up in the, I think he either grew up in Brooklyn or the Bronx. I can't remember.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Okay. So anyway.
And yeah.
Here's a guy, speaking of sports, that is my age. So this guy signs, he has his deal with NBC is up, and he's getting paid $10 million a year to do football games. So then NBC says, well, we want you to come back. And he says, yeah, okay, how much are you going to pay me? And I said, we'll pay you the same rate we are now. Well, anyway, he signs a five-year deal with Amazon to do a couple of games a week, and he's getting $15 million a year for the next 5 years. And he's 75 years old. God love the guy. You know, it's and he's somebody that I think is thought of as being about as objective when it comes to the calls as anybody, isn't he?
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's one of the old pros.
Yeah, he really is kind of fun to see that. All right, speaking of old pros or seasoned pros, Michael's interview with one of the more fascinating characters in News Talk Radio. We'll talk about that after this. All right, that's fabulous. 48.
Was that the tail end of a commercial? That was cool.
Apparently it was, yes. All right. So speaking of commercials, let's do a commercial for the MH interview.
One of the best we've ever done. It's a solid hour of intriguing conversation, no commercials. Ian Freeman, co-host of a show called Free Talk Live. He's currently doing the show while under arrest by the FBI, waiting for federal trial for money laundering and other alleged crimes attached to their involvement with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. You don't want to miss this. It is solid meat. I mean, you know, mhinterview.com.
So, but what does he tell you how he did it? Or he figures
he's totally open about it. He says that it's a victimless crime and they're contesting it. And
because otherwise you spend a lot of time. But doesn't the FBI have something better to do than chase him around? That would be my response to it, frankly. Yeah, all right, so check it out, mhinterview.com, at talkers.com. It's 10 before the hour. Thank you, Michael Harrison.
Thank you.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
53 past the hour now on the Talk Radio Countdown Show with our input now, courtesy of Stephen J.J. Wiseman, our wise lawyer, our wise professor, our wise scam artist. No, he's not a scam artist. He's trying to keep you from being handled, abused by scam artists with his website, scamicide.com. Speaking of scams, the gas companies and the economy, which is predicated by gas prices, I saw something here locally, and it isn't the first time. I remember last time it happened. You know how they put the numbers, the cost, the price of the gasoline on the big sign out in front of the gas station?
Yep.
So this week I saw downtown Framingham,
the gas station, which is an independent station, where it says a price for unleaded ARM, A-R-M, and for premium, and underneath premium it said leg. Anyway,
I do appreciate that.
So how can, is there any rule of thumb for going after, we know the gas, even though there's a problem with source, there's a gouging thing going on here. What does the average, can anybody do anything about this?
You know, this has happened in the past. Certainly, a lot of people don't realize how large the amount of the gas tax is. And we've seen in some states that they are, I saw Connecticut did it, Massachusetts is considering it, suspending the gas tax for some period. But when we've had gas shortages in the past, there have been actions taken by states' attorneys general for gouging, because as you indicated, there are laws against gouging. Now, what is gouging? Well, one person's gouging is another person's just taking profit. A reasonable profit.
Right.
So it's a it's rare that it's invoked. But I do like the idea that perhaps some attorneys general should look into that as far as if there are indeed companies that are raising the price because they're able to get away with it. So I can't really say whether it's going on or not, but it's worth looking into.
I think I can say that it's going on and feel comfortable saying that, frankly. Number five on our story list from Talkers, the Supreme Court hearings. What's the difference in your mind between the Jackson and Kavanaugh hearings? Is there, for me there is, but I wonder what you think.
Well, a pox on both their houses, you know.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
There were some legitimate concerns that were brought up in regard to the history and the temperament of Judge Kavanaugh. But I think the kind of attacks that were done being done against Judge Jackson are absurd and really have no basis in law. And it's kind of interesting, too, because people are forgetting she had already been approved by the Senate as a federal court judge. And she went through quite readily. The American Bar Association weighs in on justices, and they do a pretty good job of it. They're neither liberal nor conservative, and quite frankly, they were glowing about this woman. You know, when accusations have been made baselessly that she's using critical race theory as a basis for sentencing, nothing but just throwing out the term. The same thing with her doing sentences that have been consistent for pedophiles. And then the biggest thing for me is, you defended people in Guantanamo Bay. Yes, Senator, I was a public defender who accepts cases, who doesn't judge. I leave that up to the courts, and I took the cases I was assigned. So I thought she has gotten a lot of attacks that were not warranted.
Yeah. Well, she's young. She'll have a long career on the board, on the Supreme Court, and so be it.
She will.
Next,
yeah, I agree.
Number seven, partisan politics. There's a lawsuit that's been filed against Marjorie Taylor Greene trying to keep her from running for re-election. Is that anything like that ever get roots? Is it going to go anywhere?
No, I mean, can we waste the time? You know, I'm constantly saying, no, we don't have the courts clogged with frivolous lawsuits. And then someone brings up something like that, and I have to say, okay, that's perhaps the exception that proves the rule. I think she's an abomination.
She's an interesting character, that's for sure.
But it's up to the people to vote, not the courts to decide who's allowed to be a candidate.
Yeah, right. So there it is. Bottom line, help yourself. Sue everybody. Get them all.
Hire the good lawyers.
Yeah, right. Like Stephen J.J. Wiseman, lawyer, professor of law at Bentley University, and the founder of Scamicide.com. Right here every week on the Talk Radio Countdown Show, where it's 59 past the hour.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show is a production of Stepan Multimedia, produced by Bob K. Sound and Recording.